Rally to me, Escalonians! You'll never conquer Ascalon!
Hello, and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast, where two enthusiastic fangirls ooh and ah over a mount skin with one grumpy pants.
That was a very good ooh and ah.
Thank you. I am Hashtag, and I am joined, as always, by Hunter and Alona. Now, see, I did not write all of the intro, and it says, I am Hashtag. Lots of A's in there. Thank you, Hunter. I assume that was you.
No.
What?
Wrong. Hashtag put, or Hunter put three in, and I went, this needs more.
Ooh. Nice. Before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. Just a note, tonight we will have some spoilers. You have been warned.
We will warn throughout the show as well. This is not the sole spoiler warning.
Yeah. All right. We usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. Alona, would you like to start us off?
I would love to. I actually ended up raiding twice before the patch drop, so I haven't experienced the new raid at all, but I raided on one day with Guild Mag and once with Relics, just in stand-ins, like the... They needed an extra body, and I was able to join up for those. Mm-hmm. And I was certainly rusty with my warrior's rotation. But I managed
to
stay
alive.
Yeah, it has. But I managed to stay alive more often than not. And I other than messing up my rotation repeatedly, I don't think I blew it too badly. And that was with Guild Mag, so that was my warrior, and then I played my Daredevil with Relics, and it was a ton of fun. We didn't get through an awful lot, but there was certainly some tips and tricks with Zira that I had not done before, which I learned about, which was really quite interesting. So I think that'll be good. And then a little bit more across the board, Hunter, Panther, and I have been running through Path of Fire for the Chivos. And this has only been the second run through for me. So it's been nice to, one, refresh on the story, even though it hasn't been that long. And I did it the first time with just on my own. So going through with other people has actually been a lot of fun. I'm really quite enjoying that.
Yeah. I need to jump in on some of those.
Yeah.
Get those achievement points.
We're only doing it with Silvari, so you have to be a Silvari.
Uh-oh.
I gave Jersey, my Necro, Zura Necro, a new armor look and some new hair, and I'm not entirely sure I like it, because I loved her old look so much. I'll live with it a little bit, but I might end up changing it back, probably.
She did have a great look.
Yeah, well, I still kind of feel like, you know, when Path of Fire, before it even came out, they gave the new starter hairs for the human races that were kind of Alonian themed.
Right.
And I still kind of feel like there's going to be an update coming up where the other races get those.
Yes.
Not humans, but other races do. And it's the, you weren't here before, so you didn't have any reason to have Alonian themed hair. Now that you see these sort of styles, you've started incorporating them.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll wait to see if there's anything like that before I switch her, because there's some really nice hairstyles. And I'd like to see what the other races, their take on them. I think that'd be really cool. I'm still plugging along on the Draconis Mons back piece collection. I'm not marathoning it by any means. Like I'm on the final step now, which is still daunting. Like you look at how many of the dailies you have to get done to finish it. But I'll get there, slow and steady. It's all good.
You have written long into...
Step.
Yeah.
So the last step is, it's looking pretty, like it's going to be a long time to get that done. But I really don't want to get sick of the map, so I'm just going to do it a bit at a time for that.
So one of a common complaint is that like maps aren't active enough to get stuff done. Have you had any trouble with that in Draconis Mons?
Not at all. Okay, I haven't been in to do it since yesterday, obviously, when there's new story to do, but... Mm-hmm. No, it's been jam-packed. There's always people who come to help if you put it in map chat. You go, like, even like the Ignis and Astus? They seem to always succeed anytime I've been in the map. Not because of me, but just there's lots of people doing them. Mm-hmm. And so I've been really impressed with how active Draconis Mons has been. That said, I've been focusing more on this than going to other maps, so I don't know how other, like, I have no idea what Lake Doric feels like. I haven't been to Bitterfrost Frontier in a little while since I finished the portion I needed for that, so.
I wonder if it's easy, if there's a lot of people doing Ignis and Aethys because it's easier to get them with the Griffin, because I always had trouble waypointing and then getting back to the fight because you kind of die there a lot.
Fast. Right. Yeah. Mm. And it's super fast to get back there with the Griffins.
That's absolutely a really good point.
But even when items like there was the one that was a little bit harder and not many people go for it. Which one was it? It was the mushroom one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I can't think of his name.
Mataki or something.
Yes. It was just me and this other char guy who was... So we were, like, killing mobs and trying to do it together, and Hunter eventually was able to come and help us out a bit, and I think someone else, one or two other people came as well.
But yeah, that guy is killer if you only have, like, a few people. He just wrecks
it
you.
It took a while. Luckily, it's near a waypoint. Speaking of luckily things being near waypoints, guild missions this week was very productive. We did a ton of them. We successfully completed the challenge. It was the one where it's the three branded bosses that you have to defeat right, like fairly close together. And so that was a lot of fun. And of course, all the treks, love the treks and the races. We decided to have a go at the three bounty. So we got Poobadoo. What was yours? Hashtag the group you had.
The one in the barrels.
Sots. Yeah.
Sots. So Poobadoo is obviously pretty simple, and then Sots, and then the last one was Tumult. So we have, of course, we ended up converging all on Tumult to try to take them down. We failed.
We did really well, actually. We got them down to 25% before time ran out. It's just.
And then we were all naked.
We were almost all of us were naked at the end of this. It was a thing. It was fun though. Like, but it was right. Actually, we were lucky, I think, in that we found him right by whatever that waypoint is with the Azura
Valence Tutor.
Yeah. So you could like waypoint, mount back. There needed to be something to repair your armor right there. Actually, I think Festy still had armor, but she did repair halfway through.
Ah, Festy. So,
I took a screen cap. I meant to, of us posing in all our nudity.
Except for Hunter. Hunter was...
Yeah, he said, I'm having no part of this.
You asked me, and I said, I'm good. And that was it.
I'm good. Yeah, I couldn't remember exactly what you said. So anyway, but it was a lot of fun. I was totally, we did it knowing that there was every possibility that we wouldn't succeed. There was only like 9 of us on doing it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, played through the new episode last night. It is so good, but we are going to talk about that as a team later on. So Hunter, what else? What have you done?
Well, first, we have a brief correction. In a previous version of this podcast, we stated that Festy the Goober was 330 or something on the North American Achievement Point leaderboards. As of that recording, Festy was in fact placed at approximately 213. We were immediately informed of our error and apologized for any offense given.
I love that this comes right after Festy has been typing in chat that she is so modest.
I forgot. Sorry. I know we also did fractals right before the show.
Oh, yes.
I forgot to mention it.
Yes.
But I'll let you want to talk about that.
So I've been doing the Maw meta in Desolation a lot. The Forged Hunter chest you get once per character per day can be pretty profitable. It's got pulsing brand sparks and they're like one or two gold. And I've been switching characters and going and doing it, and switching characters and going and doing it. I've also been hoping for the Specialist chest that rarely drops the named exotic drop for the POF Specialization collections. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, so there's like these named exotics that drop that you need for the collection to unlock the ascended weapon you get for your specialization.
Right.
Oh, right.
And this box gives you a selection of all the named exotics, so you can just pick it out. Yeah.
Oh, I need to do that.
And they cost like 40 gold on the auction house. Maybe the price has gone up or down, I don't recall. So, yeah, doing that a lot, and I've made a lot of profit off of that. I've got two specialist boxes from that after maybe 40, 45 runs, maybe 50, I don't know.
That doesn't seem like a good investment on your time.
I have profited greatly, so...
Okay.
And each run is actually quite quick if you can catch the meta going in succession with the squad. I've been working on moving those specialization collections to completion, like all of them. The main thing holding me back from most of them is the exotic drop from the specialist box and the crafted weapon that you have to make. There are components in each collection. Most of the exotic name drops are in the 50 gold range, while the crafted weapons are fairly expensive to make, requires a lot of flaxseed and whatever. I ended up forgetting that you actually get one of the exotics through a reward box. And I luckily got a specialist box from the Maw meta, which gave me two of the exotics I needed for these collections. I ended up crafting the Mordant Slicer Dagger to complete the Ascended Daggers Mokele and the Silence of a Thousand Years. So two of those are done. I should have revised this because I wrote this last week and I got another specialist box and I completed the Mesmer Axe. So I've got three done.
Wow. Guess how many I've done?
Zero.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm close. I just need the weapons, the exotic ones.
Yeah. That's another good thing about doing the Maw meta is you get like the tons of trade contracts and the other stuff that you need to pay.
I don't think I've done the Maw meta at all.
Well, you should. So I played through the story and explored around Istan last night, and I did a series of POF story instances with Lona and Panther, collecting achievements where possible. We finished up, Night of Fires achievements, and then the Sacrifice, and we also got inspired to finish the achievements for Act 1 of POF story. So yeah, I finished Act 1. Did you guys finish Act 1 achievements?
Yes. I'm pretty sure I got them done, but there's some that I can overachieve.
Right. Yeah.
I am not done. I have, I think, maybe two more for the meta for Act 1. Yeah, something like that.
I'm pretty close to Act 2 as well. I think I have two more for Act 2. Anyway.
I think I'm really far away for those.
I finished getting all of my funerary box achievements. Each achievement that... What? What is so funny about that?
Hashtag correcting your typing.
Yeah, it's. I saw that too. It's completely unnecessary, hashtag. The final thing I needed was Janindu Rising, and I just happened to be passing by, and I caught one, and it was like one Janindu up, so I didn't get the achievement for all six, but then like a week later I was doing the Maw achievement so much that I was looking in the LFG all the time, and I saw somebody doing the meta, went over, And I got that achievement, so Ooh. That's done, finally.
Wow.
Cute. Yeah. Yeah. And I finished Mace Weapon Mastery. I finished Alona Safari Slayer. I finished Branded Slayer. And I got Focus Weapon Master to 500, which gave me like 20 achievement points. So stick that in your craw, spirit. And,
wow.
What? And why are you dragging her into this all of a sudden?
Yeah, and I, you know, as you said, I did like the fractal last night and tonight, the new one. And yep.
Yeah.
I guess we can talk about that in the hashtag section.
Alrighty. So first off, I discovered this week that I have never actually completed the personal story on a char. So I made a new char. Because I didn't have a char. I must have created one at one point, but I don't currently have one. Well, now I do. But I had to delete something to make room for it.
Well, yeah. And Mesmer.
But, yeah. My Mesmer Shame. Was my lowest Shame. Level. It was only a 40 and
did you I make had, your char a Mesmer?
I what? Had no.
So that's a no.
Personal connection to this
oh
char.
My.
What did I make your char?
I made it a warrior, because I don't. I have. Yeah, I don't have.
I'm tearing up. I am so sad.
I wanted. To, oh, stop it! I wanted to do a warrior because I like the
yes,
heavy classes.
I also feel attacked.
Oh, brother. I mean, I. It was very hard to delete the character, but I only have so many spots. And
so you made a char Mesmer.
How many character slots do you have?
Seven?
I think I have 12 or 14 or something.
I have no idea how many I have.
I have what? The one free one from Hot, the one free one from Poff, and then the 5 base, right? Yeah, because I've never bought one.
Well, you need to buy one and make
so many
Mesmer.
Other things to spend gems on.
That's
all
one
right.
of the best things to spend
so,
gems on.
hardly.
What? So,
all right.
I mean, if you're going to spend gems on account improvements, things like, you know, bank slots or bank tabs and bag slots and...
Which you need more of.
Storage
too.
Expansion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That to me is more important.
But you could have made a char Mesmer.
A char Mesmer who serves as a storage mule.
I don't like playing on char. I just, it's so galumphy. You know?
That's not a word.
You know, there's like the lope. Yeah, you know, it's like the lump, the lump, the lump as they're kind of running around. And I don't really like it. So
okay. Honestly, though, they're anyway. No worse than Norn running.
Truth. All right. So hashtag like Jersey also got a new hairdo. Returning her to her short locks. This was actually Hash's original hairstyle. It's the one that's kind
I'm
of the close crop with the one long strand at the front.
Braid. The braid.
Yeah. And I really liked it when I had it originally, and Hash was blonde. And then when I made Nevermore, I changed it up kind of as a celebration, new Hash. And I went with the ponytail that Jersey used to have, actually.
Such and, a good hairstyle. Corkscrew ponytail. Mm-hmm.
And then I went from that. Last year, I got the French braids, the double braids. And I had kind of a light green color for the hair. And yeah, so switched it up. And I'm back to the short hairdo, this time with a dark brown. But kind of like what you were saying, Alona, I mean, it was fun to change it up, but I also am kind of bored with the hairstyles, and I'm really looking forward to something new, mm-hmm. hopefully soon. And I hope that they take the hairstyles and use them as inspiration.
Yeah.
Not exact copies, right? Like, it wouldn't make sense.
How would the Azura interpret this? How would the Norn interpret this?
I've been whittling away at competitive achievements. I made some good progress this week in Sanctum Sprint, Crab Toss, until a guild showed up in Crab Toss and pretty much shut me out of all progress. So I was all by myself in there, ticking away at these achievements. It was fantastic. And then all of a sudden, about, I think it was three or four, it started with three and then four, guildmates showed up, and then they just kept punching me and knocking me down and tossing the crab amongst themselves. So that was the end of that.
You know when you're not wanted.
Right? And then the same thing happened in Keg Brawl 2 days ago. I went in there to try to see if I could get some achievement points, and it was a guild, and they were doing their thing. So, you know.
Well, didn't we do that for achievements one night, Hunter?
Yeah, but we were on separate teams.
We different instances, too. Yeah. I think about it.
What?
Oh. We were terrible at this.
Well, don't you have to be on separate teams to be able to pass it back and forth and get the credit for that, for the stealing?
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep checking on that, keep working away at that. It's pretty good when it's not the daily to go in and, you know, get stuff done. So that's good. I got an ascended weapon chest yesterday. Woo. And I have no idea where it came from. So basically, after completing the story and clearing the map, I cleaned out my bags and it was there. So I'm not complaining. I don't know where it came from.
You said you had done something. What was it? It was like a meta or something?
Yeah, I did the meta.
The meta in the new zone.
It's done. Yeah, but I guess it can award. But it failed.
Or it might have been there for like a week and you never noticed.
The meta. Is that
possible?
No.
Did you do any metas right before Istan? The day before? No.
No.
What happened in Istan?
Yeah, it definitely happened in Istan because I cleared my bags before starting the new stuff, you know, and yeah. So I don't know. I think it's soldier stats, which isn't really anything I want, but they're easy enough to convert. So good stuff. We did the new fractal, as you guys have already mentioned, with C and Q. And we're going to talk more about that later, but that was really, really fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I haven't done fractals in a long time. I need to get back into it because good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and I purchased one of the new things that I can't remember the name of. I got the Karma Booster, level one. So you know, when you loot the final chest, I think you get a Karma Boost.
For fractals,
yes.
Okay.
And finally, I ticked over 15,000 AP last night. Take that, frick!
We got a blow by blow of this happening,
like, oh my gosh,
point by point over Discord.
Yeah. Well, I let's see. Right before yesterday, I was at 14,900 and something, and I needed, like 920 or something. I needed around 80 achievement points to level up. And I was, or not level up, but, you know, I was hoping that there would be enough in the story. But I was really worried because it seems like with every release that comes out, the achievement points are worth less and less for each item. I wouldn't be surprised if next episode there's like 0.5 of an achievement point for doing this. Yeah, compared to raids where you get 15
achievement points. You defeated the raid boss. You get 15 achievement points.
You said that you had to rethink that because you realized there were tiers, and by the time you got through the tier, it was like...
Yeah.
Well, you're still only getting like three at the highest tier.
I thought it was like 10 sometimes.
No. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was... that. Remember, I thought I was getting more than I was, and then I realized I was reading the wrong thing. So... But pretty much right around when I was ready to be done last night, ticked over got my 400 gems, woo, and my Hellfire skin. And
did you spend the gems?
Oh no.
Oh.
I mean, 400 gems does not get you very far these days. So
not with 2,000 gem mounts on the gem store.
Right. I'm gonna have to like get all the way up to 30,000 AP before I have enough gems for a mount. And that is it for me.
So now we're on to Votes of Ascalon, where every other week we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. This week we asked, what part of the next update are you most looking forward to? And we had 64% of the votes coming in for Living World Season 4, 12% for New Raid, 7% for the new Fractal, and unsurprisingly, because the joke option usually gets a fairly good showing, 17% for None, I'm Dead Inside. So which ones did you guys vote for?
Living World Season 4.
Yeah, same.
But honestly, Fractal was a close second, and I kind of wish I had voted for it because of the runaway that we had. But so we did have
187 people voting.
Yeah, we had 187 people voting, and that shaman commented, what if I'm looking forward to season 4 and am dead inside at the same time? I actually replied all of the above. That would have been a good option for for the fourth one, actually.
It would have.
And at I Am Analog, at this rate, shouldn't it be join up the new raid in Lion's Arch where cats have risen up and started to eat everything in sight? Use the new cat armor, 4K gems, and spray bottle, 1K gems, to take down the cat lord. Next on Living Story Season, meow! Also, I love cats. It was the also I love cats part.
Puts it over.
When I read that, I was chuckling a fair bit. In addition, that shaman also posted a poll day before yesterday, that was fairly similar to ours the day before the release, and really the results were extremely similar. His poll asked, what are you looking forward to most tomorrow? And he had 815 people responding. There were 69% said season 4, 14% said raids, 8% said fractals, and 9% said other. So, you know, even like, it's remarkably similar numbers.
Remarkably.
Like, it's within the margin of error. So I thought this is really interesting from the point of view when they say, you know, 3% margin of error, sample size, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, the sample sizes are fairly different, but the numbers are really similar, except for the None, I'm Dead Inside versus other. But I was actually glad the poll was posted because I voted Fractal in that one.
Yeah, well, I didn't vote in that one.
So you were the 1% that...
I tipped New Fractal over to 8% or 7%.
And now it's time for Posts of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up is the November 28th release notes. We'll start with Living World Daybreak. After a freak brainstorm engulfs the Alonian city of Amnoon, a mysterious vision reveals that an encounter in the ancient ruins might determine the fate of Tyria. The commander embarks on a search for a secretive order of warriors who guard the way into the ancient city, just as the consequences of past choices come home to roost. So, spoilers, everybody. We're about to start discussing various aspects of the new zone and story. So, we'll start with Istan, the zone. I thought it was very well done, and one of the biggest zones of Living Story. I'm loving how close it was to the style and dimensions of the original Guild Wars. Also, a lot of Guild Wars outposts could be very plain, and I love how they kept the flavor and ideas of the original and expanded on that. Not to mention convenient things like having one of the waypoints at the Astralarium close to the top, like in elevation.
Yeah.
So that you could just jump up to the top and, like, glide anywhere on your griffin in the zone. So that was my favorite part of the zone.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a beautiful map with diverse areas. I don't have the experience of having gone through this in Guild Wars 1, so it's a little bit different for me because I don't have any of the reference points, but just looking at the map as a map, it was really, really pretty, and it was fun to unlock all the different areas of it because as you're running through the map, you know, at least I was thinking, like, surely there can't be more, but wait, there's more. So it was good. And I feel like they did a really good job of having different levels. So not just like the verticality of other places, like in Heart of Thorns, where you'll have kind of a cliff face kind of thing. Here, they really had a lot of different locations at different heights in the map that were interesting and made sense, like caves down on the bottom and, you know, cliff areas up on the top that worked and were interesting, and flat areas and mountainous areas and good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Was it similar for when we were going through the expansion content for you as far as like listening to our experiences or how we were experiencing it versus how you...
Yeah, I mean, it's a little hard because when I'm listening to you guys, so when I'm listening to Alona, you know, when we're in Discord together, we're playing stories. So we're usually...
Are you saying you don't listen to me?
Well, push to gasp.
Yeah, push
really
to gasp
what
is what I'm talking about. I'm So we're in Discord and we're all individually doing stories. So we're not in the same instance together. And, you know, we're trying to be respectful of, you know, the other players' experiences and spoilers and things like that. But you will hear about every couple of minutes, you know?
Yeah, Hunter really needs to stop that.
Yeah, right.
So I would say that, yes, there was probably an equal amount of ing in the, actually, I think there might have been more because it was a concentrated area, you know, and good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I tweeted out earlier today, after waking up and thinking more about the chapter and everything, I was like, it was perfect for me as a player. And so my first thought when I was like, Istan, perfect. But then to expand on that, the Wooden Potatoes had put out a video when the trailer had come out, or the teaser trailer or the actual trailer, I can't remember now. But he had hypothesized about Istan, and I tried not to get my hopes up successfully. Hashtag hasn't corrected my spelling here. I'm going to do it myself. I loved this area so much. I spent a lot of time there, so I was super jazzed that we were actually going there. I honestly thought that it was like a long shot, probably not going to happen. And I was like, oh my god, this is happening. We're going there. And I'm not as jazzed about Palawadan. Because it's not Camadan. This makes me angry at Palawajoko all over. Even more
wait,
so.
Wait. Tell me, can I have like the 30-second story explanation there? Like what's going on with Palawadan and Camadan?
So Camadan was the main hub in Nightfall. And even, I think, to this day, people go there to congregate and to... Because there's no trading post or auction house or anything, Lion's Arch and Camadan, and to a lesser extent Kenning City in factions, people will go there to basically shout in map chat to sell Ectos or whatnot. And people often call it Spamadan. And I spent a lot of time in Camadan, and Powaladan makes me angry. I mean, it's beautiful. The new map is gorgeous, but it's the concept of it being
corrupted, renamed,
replaced. Yeah,
yes, that makes me angry.
Camadan was like a center for festivals because Lion's Arch and Camadan would be updated for festivals. Kainang City pretty much would not be.
That's true.
So yeah,
there was the boardwalk in Xingjie. Xingjie would actually be the one that would get updated.
That's true.
In factions. So I, when we first get to the Istan, I did not see the green star that said go to pinpoint where the Astralarium was, but I knew exactly where. Like, I beelined it. Although Hunter said, "You didn't just see the green star." I'm like, "No, I did not." But I knew where to go is my point. And I was like, oh, this is so wonderful. I loved it. So I'm loving basically everything. And even though I did say perfect, there is one less perfect thing. And I get massive herky-jerky lag every single time I'm in Champion's Dawn. It doesn't matter if I log. It doesn't matter if I restart the game. Whenever, and to be fair, I have not tried it since the last patch that was earlier today. But as soon as I get in Champion's Dawn, like even scrolling through inventory, it's like stop motion. And I hope that gets fixed. I felt like I was playing on hashtags Mac and it wasn't fun.
Yeah.
And finally, the foreigner, how do you say it?
Foreigner, I would say.
Foreigner. You don't realize how, like, I recognize the name Foreigner. Yeah, that's fine. And you go into the instance for that, and it was like, as soon as the one kettlebell type thing drops, I'm like, I know what's going on. I know this place. I kind of forgot about it a little bit, but it just came rushing back, and it was like, oh, it was so good. Anyway. Yeah,
it came rushing back when I saw the Guild Hall, the Great Hall.
Yes.
Because that's so similar to the Great Hall in Guild Wars 1. Mm-hmm. Just very close.
I agree.
So, moving on to story. I found the first instance to be serviceable, but not really make a lot of sense. I feel like... So, Krakatoric attacks Amnoon, but doesn't destroy it or stick around at all. It's just, well, I'm here. I guess I'll throw a storm at them and leave. And I definitely found that the final instance ramps up the tension, and Taimi's voice acting was really good.
Oh, so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really felt like she was in genuine peril.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was great. And I also...
Yeah, any delay I took felt... Like, no.
Right. You felt it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also liked revisiting, like, the past and certain encounters, like the Great Hall, and meeting up with a certain awakened NPC in a cave. That was great. Overall, it was good.
So my comments on story are more just kind of bullet points. Timey's haircut, I thought that went right along with her voice acting and the kind of the change in her personality. We can see that Timey is growing
getting older.
And gosh, it was really impactful. And so I had similar thoughts to Hunter going through that. And I thought she looked really cute with her haircut, even though it was one of the starter haircuts, right?
Yep.
Hairstyles. Yep. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated the profession-based encounters. When you're in the jail and you break out, every profession has their own way of breaking out. So for me as a necro, I used a fleshworm, and it was kind of fun to hear how other people got out of the jail.
Hunter was like, I used my rage.
Yeah.
Well, I was on a warrior, and it literally says enrage or something like that.
Which was just so fitting. I heard, I didn't experience this myself, but I read about that in the first story instance, there are some things that you encounter that are related to choices you made in Puff. So
now, I don't remember that. Like, what?
So whether or not you go with Joko's army or you go with the Sun Spirits or something like that, the dialogue changes when you're interacting with some of the people around the camp. And I think you might get different NPCs. Like, So, you know, I had the sun spirits, and I think I got priestesses, and I think you get a different type if you choose something else. So, yeah. So I've heard about this. I haven't actually checked it out yet, but I think it's true, and I think that's really, really great that it's kind of what they were getting back to, you know, with living story, that your choices matter. And I like that in whatever small ways they can, they are kind of honoring that. Mm-hmm. And I thought the length felt just about right for the story. It took me around 2.5 hours, give or take, to finish the story. It didn't feel too long or too short. I felt like it was a satisfying story arc within, you know, what we had to work with.
Yeah, it took me about...
Go on.
Well, it took me about the same amount of time, but I don't think I would have finished it that fast if I didn't have, like, both Alona and Hashtag in chat with me wanting to talk about the story and, like...
You wanted to talk.
Are you guys done with this yet? Let me know when you're done with this.
Well, if I did by myself, I would have explored the zone a lot more. That's all.
That's fair. I was afraid that it was going to be too short, only because when you did finish Hashtag, you went, oh, that's it.
Yeah. So well, it was more the last fight. I wasn't prepared for it. I mean, like, it felt good overall. It's just like I wasn't realizing, like, oh, wait, I'm done.
This is it. Yeah. This is the end.
Well, the tension with timing.
Yeah.
Really sold it. Oh, this must be the last instance if this is so perilous.
Mm-hmm. For me, again, I put perfect, but although it felt completely natural in its progression, not just from the progression from how previous living world stories were rolled out, but also the extension from the expansion. So you're bringing Braum back, but it doesn't feel weird. It kind of makes sense why, because he has such a connection with Timey, and also the reasons they explain why. And it's just like, at the same time though, from what you wrote down, Hunter, and what you've said, I do see where you're saying, like, that first instance, like, I feel like I want to know why the Kralkatorik just like, oh, let's just be a storm now.
Yeah, the way they leave off Path of Fire at the very final instance, cinematic or whatever, and he's like sort of hovering over Amnoon, and there's like a brand storm, and but you can see him, he's like right over the city, and he just leaves.
So I'm still going with my perfect, honestly, but I do because it was just like, yeah, that was good. That was really good. And I agree with you, Hashtag. It was, I think, just the right amount of length. The encounters, well, we're going to talk about that later on, actually. The next one. Moving on to gameplay.
Yeah, so gameplay. I found the first instance just had too many mobs. I'm not a fan of carving my way through endless mobs with no drops or experience or anything as a reward. And there were a couple of times in the story
there were
I felt
a lot of them.
There were, like, a lot of mobs to fight through. And I just... I get tired. I get, like, fatigue. Like, kick-ass fatigue is what I call it, because I've been kicking ass all day.
And you never know... That's actually really awesome. You never know... When there's that many, you never know whether they're going to be... This is a finite number you need to get through, or these are constantly spawning. So it's hard to gauge which one you're dealing with when there's that many.
Right.
The Wyvern fight is okay, but I feel like there are a lot of Wyvern fights in the game now, and it's just like, I don't need another Wyvern fight. No, but it's the same mechanics pretty much every time. Admittedly, they did upgrade this Wyvern, but like, there's Ignis and Aethys in Draconis Mons. There's the Patriarch and the Matriarch in Verdant Brink, and there's more Wyverns. I just get
right. Them. Mm-hmm. There's the veteran ones that you know, you have the events in the
Blood crazed thing. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
But yeah, so I was a little unimpressed with that, but it was fine. What was the other fight that I want to talk about? Oh, the new whirlpool mechanic. Those are interesting and really annoying. Like, just, I find them really annoying to deal with.
I thought they were cool. I liked it. I thought it was interesting. I mean, I know you said it was interesting, but I don't know. I think it added a whole nother kind of thing.
I just really
like... I'm not recalling these. Which ones are they?
We just did it in the fractal, too. Like,
oh,
the,
yeah, we're
getting spun around.
Yes. So the final instance had it, but it was much tinier.
Yeah, they just go on too long, and I feel like they don't... I don't like losing control of my character. And these just go on and on and on and on if you can't get out of them. So, yeah, that was my impressions of gameplay.
So I thought there were lots of fun collection type achievements to work on in the map and in the story. I thought the puzzle encounters were challenging but not frustrating. So the kind of thing where it takes you a couple minutes to figure out what do I need to do.
So what are we talking about specifically? Puzzle encounters? I'm not sure. I remember.
So there. Like the boulders.
Okay.
That thing, and what's the other one I was thinking of? The end fight, figuring out what to do with, figuring out the mechanics basically of some of those fights. I felt like there was a little bit of, uncertainty. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to figure this out? And then you're able to look around and kind of figure out what you needed to do. So it's a good kind of mix of that, of challenge and success. And one thing I did not really like was that the new mastery did not really add anything to gameplay. It wasn't like, Draconis Mons, where we got the oak, what is that called? Oak something, the
oak
grabby thing.
Essence?
Yeah, that you can grab on and swing around.
Spider-Man.
Yes, or something like that really, even Lake Doric, where we got the extra downed skill that's really powerful.
Oh, man,
so, and that really changed gameplay. I mean, I use that all the time.
All the time.
So the new mastery, you can now collect, it's not unbound magic, volatile magic, and that's it. It doesn't really do anything.
Well, I can see them moving away from the movement-based ones. They've kind of, in some ways, saturated that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it has to be movement-based. I mean, way back when they first were introducing masteries and talking about things like, unlocking languages so you could understand lore or things like that, they made it sound like it was going to be a lot more complex than it actually ended up being. And I think, and they've admitted that developing good masteries is quite hard. I did feel like this one was kind of a throwaway.
Yeah, well, I agree. I'm just hoping that, that's it's not consistently going to be terrible masteries in every zone. Basically, I think we should allow...
This is a neutral thing.
Yeah, we need to, allow for them to not have... I knock it out of the park mastery every single time, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think that they've kind of set themselves up.
Story and map. And...
Well, that's the thing. Like, they kind of set it up as, we will definitely have one new mastery per map or per episode. And maybe that wasn't the best decision.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't necessarily... Now, granted, we're getting into, hypothesizing, but maybe you don't need to have it tied to map. Maybe it could be just... tied to story, but not necessarily map, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
My turn?
Your turn.
For this one, I put mostly perfect. I honestly don't disagree with either of you guys for what your impressions of this, but for me, I thought that there was less easing into the new mechanics than we've seen previously, and a lot of the ones that were new, and the only reason I know they were new because other people mentioned to me, oh, I've never seen this before, but I had seen them because I'm not a colossal raider, but I've done it enough that I can recognize some of these mechanics. And when we were in Glint's Lair in an earlier season, it kind of trained you a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, and then built, you know, you were able to use those mechanics. And this one was kind of like, nope, here's new mechanics. So I don't know if you guys thought that or not, but I thought that was something that I was thinking, if you were newer to playing these things, it just kind of threw you in a little bit more, and you
certainly the final instance definitely throws you in a bit more if you're not prepared for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For that one, I figured out half of it fairly quickly, like the going to the outside edges. What I didn't figure out is once you destroyed the containers, there was things in there that you needed to bring back. So I was like going around and like destroying all of the gates without taking anything, thinking, oh, this is all I got to do. No, that's only half of it. But yeah, it was good. It was a good experience all around, generally. Okay. Like, do you want to give it a percentage grade? I don't know. I'd give it like, well, I said perfect.
Yeah,
to mostly perfect. So I'm like 98%. I'll give it a 98%.
Really?
I'm
gonna give it off 2%.
87%.
I'm gonna give it an 85%. That's what I had in my head. So
that's the thing we're doing now. On the fly percentage points.
All right. So that's our impressions of the story, zone, and gameplay of Daybreak. Moving on to the rest of the news, I guess. Unless
really
you want
quickly,
to say something?
I 100% had not put together that Daybreak was the opposite of Nightfall until it was pointed out to me.
I didn't know that.
I was like, oh, yeah, Daybreak. That's an interesting title. And it was the WP video. It was like, it's the opposite of Nightfall. I'm like, oh, mind blown.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily like... important to know that. I don't even think it's relevant technically.
It's a nice,
that naming
it's a nice
Daybreak.
Easter egg.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It's just more that than anything else.
Okay.
But still, like, I, for as much as I go on about how awesome Nightfall it is and how much I loved it, I should have put that together. It's more on me. What I'm saying is, this is on me.
Okay. Update notes. Probably should have introed this differently instead of introing our impressions by introing it as the November 28th release notes. Update notes. New legendary focus. A new legendary weapon is now available. Speak to Grandmaster Grafton Hobbs and Lion's Arch to learn how to craft this new focus precursor, Ars Goetia?
Gosha?
Gosha?
I don't know.
And forge this new legendary focus, the Binding of Ipos. Mm-hmm. And, sure you can find a video of this, but it basically pulls a book out in front of you and it's awesome.
Yeah. I'll paste the YouTube link that I found for you guys to see it. Your offhand turns into this three-fingered claw, demon claw or something, and the book flows out in front of you, and it has an eye, like Eye of Sauron, like eye on the front that'll move around. It floats out in front of you whenever it's being wielded. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing.
Yeah. So moving on to World Polish, the Elon Riverlands in particular.
I didn't get to make my focus pun, Hunter.
Oh God.
dare you, sir?
Hashtag. What do you think of the new legendary?
Well, it certainly draws your focus.
I was supposedly I thought it was going to be a scepter.
See,
God. Moving on. World Polish, Elon Riverlands. They added a fix to the second finisher used on each of the Maws of Torment portals. Will show the player's chosen finisher instead of the Realm Portal Spike finisher. I think that's great. There need to be more in-game uses for finishers. There's some in the new Fractal, actually, which I liked.
Yep.
But moving on to some other update notes. The settings preset under graphics options no longer affects the DPI scaling setting.
Yep.
Basically.
Both hashtag and I'm like, Hunter, this
Hunter.
Is for you.
Yeah. And also, Windows, the launcher's size now reflects the DPI scaling setting. So that was the main problem for me, was that the launcher was gigantic and took up most of my screen. But now it's fixed. And the graphics options thing was basically what was making it work in-game, because the settings would save how you wanted your DPI. So hopefully, like, nobody has to deal with the workaround where they had to go in the graphics settings, change their settings, change the DPI, change it back to get it to work properly. But moving on, exotic tier fury weapons and armor can now be salvaged or and used in the Mystic Forge. It's always a pain in the ass when you can't do that with exotics. Mm-hmm. And in big, bright red lettering, a new keys category has been added to the wallet, and it contains a currency version of several existing items. These items can be consumed to convert them into the new currencies. Content that once required these items to be in a player's inventory will now check for the currency instead. This change affects the following items: Zephyrite Lockpicks, Bandit Skeleton Keys, Packed Crowbars, Exalted Keys, Vials of Chak Acid, Machetes, Trader's Keys.
These are all in different colors, by the way. Well,
it's a rainbow. It's a rainbow of joy. It is clearly a rainbow of joy in 14-point font, bolded and italicized.
This really enabled my lack of bank tab joy, because I cleared out a whole bunch of spaces and I was like, see, Hunter, I don't need another bank tab.
Mm-hmm. I cleared out about 10. Sure. Well, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I cleared out 7 spaces.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Moving on to a new competitive currencies category has been added to the wallet and contains the following currencies: PvP League tickets, Ascended Shards of Glory, Badges of Honor, World vs. World Skirmish claim tickets, Proofs of Heroics, and Testimonies of Heroics. So, if you didn't know, if you go into the wallet, there's a drop-down menu, and you can move through the different categories to see just those currencies. I had to check that myself. I forgot there was a drop-down menu, if I ever knew at all.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Some currencies in the wallet have been reorganized for consistency and grouping in the All Currencies view. I didn't really notice any big changes there. Here's some interesting news. Renown rewards and World versus World rewards chests can now be right-clicked to quickly take their contents. And yay. I've been looking for that to happen.
I have not tried that, to be perfectly honest.
Like, I did all? With Renown rewards last night.
I still haven't done that.
Okay, well, you need to start, because it
I
is
do
joyful.
Need. I make a.
How
I'm
are
make
you not doing
a,
that?
Ugh. I don't know. I'm going to make a note for myself, a post-it note.
Put it on your right mouse button.
Oh, I can't find my post-its. All right. Later.
Yeah, oh, you will do it later. We're in the middle of the podcast. A new item, Gift of Desert Mastery, has been added to allow crafting legendary weapons by playing in Path of Fire maps. The following weapons can be created with the new gift: Flames of War, the HMS Divinity, the Shining Blade, and future legendary weapons that are part of this set. So, noticeably, some of the other weapons from the Chuka, well,
yeah,
not just
Chuka
and Chambalet, but the
Chuka
the
Nevermore,
mace.
Like, those are all
the first ones.
Yeah, there's like the four.
No, but there's also the mace isn't there. I don't see it.
What is the mace?
Isn't that Sharur?
No, that's the shield. No, that's not the shield. That's
the shield is Shushadu.
No, what's the one? The igneous, or it's like, it's a mace. You know, I want to say it's like in Eureka.
Oh, yeah. But that's kind of part of the original five, right?
The hammer.
No, it's just the same as the rest of these, I think.
Huh. Maybe that's an oversight.
Maybe. But yeah, you can now play through Path of Fire and work on legendaries.
So it's basically the ones that don't have legendary journeys, right?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, so does the mace have a legendary journey? No.
No.
Chuka was the last one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last and best.
So yeah, that's good news. That's a good change.
It's a good addition. Kind of branch between Heart of Thorns and Poff, because, you know, they weren't able to get all of these out for a hot like they should have. And so they need to be able to tie them into the new content as well. So I feel like this is actually a really smart way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. And now for fractals.
Hashtag.
Oh, that is me.
Just waiting here.
You know. All right, so we have a new fractal, Twilight Oasis, Journey to the Past, and Witness Events That Shaped Alona for Better or Worse.
Great.
Very brief description of what is actually happening here. Mm-hmm.
And we said we were going to talk about fractals, so I guess we should do that here.
We should talk about it, yeah. So,
spoilers, by the way, in case yes. you don't want to know what's happening in the fractal.
The three of us went in and did this about 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago.
With
Coffee and Quest and Caledon.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really fun. There's some interesting mechanics. There's the special action key that it's like a Springer jump without the Springer. And I don't know. What do you guys have to say?
Did you like it? I thought,
it was unexpected.
First of all, it reminded me a lot of Urban Battlegrounds because, one, you get transformed into looking different the same way you do in Urban Battlegrounds, and you're playing a bad guy the same way you do in Urban Battlegrounds, if you consider the char bad guys, and I do. And you're in an urban environment fighting, and it's very similar in a lot of ways.
But it's also similar to, I can never remember the name of the fractal, the one with the anomaly, where you turn into Inquest.
Yep, the uncategorized. No, that's not uncategorized. That's the Thaumanova?
Thaumanova.
How is it similar to Thaumanova?
Well, that you're playing Inquest. You're transformed to Azura and you're playing Inquest.
Yeah.
Now, it's not urban. That's the one part that isn't similar, but other than that, it is.
One thing I noticed is that there's like a lot of mobs to fight and at a really high level.
By you mean innocents and the good guys.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good guys to fight and I feel
and Hunter's here, let's go take down these poor wounded, villagers. Make sure you kill them, guys.
It's an achievement.
Yeah.
I'm not bloodthirsty unless it requires achievements. But I felt like at tier 4, killing all of those mobs would be really tedious because we were doing it at level 16 or something.
Yeah, but maybe
the first level. The first
maybe
level.
They're not sponges. Maybe when you get higher up, maybe there's some new mechanics or something.
Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll have to wait until I do it at T4 or something.
Yeah.
I did it with RO at T2 and it was pretty much the same. So,
Yep.
One thing we did learn about the special action key is that it does not mitigate fall damage.
Poor Coffee and Quest. He was our guinea pig many times.
Still does not mitigate fall damage.
Well, what did you guys think about the final boss fight?
I really liked all the... There was tons of different mechanics going on there. And also, spoiler, it's in the story, Living World story, you fight the, what's her name again? I'm so sorry.
Amala.
Amala, but she has a specific title.
Warden Amala? I think she's the prison warden.
Yeah. So this is the fight of how you make her that.
Mm.
Take her from a priestess, executioner Amala, you take her from a priestess of the gods. I think specifically, does she do all, she covers them all. Because she had mesmer skills at one point, she had elementalist skills.
Well, the priests around, you take her down to a certain health percentage and you go off and you fight a priest. And they had the various skills of...
Yeah.
Professions that align with those priests. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what she was a dervish or something, wasn't she?
Oh, you could be right. I can't remember. Yes, you're right. So this was basically, you fight her current state in the living world, and the fractal is how she got there.
Which is
that was pretty fascinating, I thought.
Yeah, really good coordination on ArenaNet's part to time this to come out at the same time as Living Story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, because there might be people that do the fractal before they do the story. And it would be interesting to see how your interpretation of it changes, or how your reaction to it, not interpretation, but your reaction to it, depending on which order you do it in.
Hmm.
So anyway, I thought it was interesting.
So in addition to the new fractal, a couple of the older fractals were revamped. The Mitrin, Captain Mitrin boss fractal, had a few pain points, namely the lack of diversity in the encounter, as well as the inability to progress the canon transitions any faster through player skill. The fractal has been updated to reflect our new encounter design standards and increase player engagement at all tiers.
I'm really curious to see how you transition the cannons faster. Yeah. Because the cannons, like,
it's on the phase, right? 25%?
Yeah, and they're not really all that skill-based. I mean, if you have twitch abilities, like, even if you're good at avoiding the cannons, sometimes you're going to go down. It does happen. So I haven't gone down in that phase in a while, but it does happen, and I won't be surprised.
You also have the indicator circles on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unlike Key.
Poor Key.
Like, what was that? Like 3 years ago? We're still hammering her will. But yeah, I can't wait to see how you transition that faster. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. For the Molten Boss Fractal, it was originally too short to be considered a full fractal, and it had some time gated content that made replaying the fractal a bit tedious, but now the fractal is full length and has received various improvements to bring it up to our new quality standards. We just tried this out ourselves. We four-manned it in tier one, along with Cal. And let's see, what did they add? They added new encounters reminiscent of the original dungeon.
It's pretty close to the original dungeon, not to cut you off, hashtag, sorry.
It's fine.
But yeah, I felt like the encounters leading up to the boss fight is pretty similar to the way it was, like, what is it now, like 4 years ago, 5 years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, 4 years, right? Was it Frost and Flame?
Frost and Flame, and
Floss,
it would have been in March.
It's all about dental work.
2013, so yeah.
Yeah. They added new dialogue for the final bosses.
Did you guys notice any new dialogue? It sounded similar to me.
I noticed it, but
busy
fighting. I didn't pay attention to it. I noticed that there was more going on, but yeah.
Mm.
They removed unnecessary waiting, which is fantastic. It's like you arrive on the center post, that center thingy for the final boss fight, and it's just boom.
Yeah.
They arrive.
You know, I loved that cutscene.
Ugh.
I was watching that wall pretty closely, and they have all the same moves. It looks exactly the same, except it's not a cinematic.
But I love the dialogue with the squee. I love that. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
They removed unnecessary waiting, replaced the cinematic. That's kind of the same thing.
Yep.
They changed the outer ring in the second phase of the Molten Firestorm encounter to be much less punishing for melee players.
We didn't really get to experience this.
Yes.
We killed the Molten Firestorm first because hashtag needed the achievement for killing the Molten Firestorm first. So
yeah.
No insight to offer on that one.
Nope. Reworked the Champion Molten Effigy encounter.
He's somewhere else in the thing, and he has like a new mechanic where he sends out like a fire flame circle that's kind of similar to the Molten Berserker.
Yeah.
So I think it's sort of like an attempt to give people a little bit of training on that move by the Berserker.
Yeah. And added new content to the second phases of the boss fights at tiers 3 and 4. So we haven't seen this yet, but
nope.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
We did that at a really low level just to speak to it.
The lowest possible level.
Level 10. There are some new Mistlock instabilities that have been added to the fractals. Hamstrung. The lower your health, the slower you move.
Boo.
You know where this is going to hurt?
Annoying.
It's going to hurt in the ones where you're doing, like, lighting the fire.
Or Mitrin.
And then you have to run to... Yes, Mitrin would really hurt. But what's the one? Chaos Isles, where you have to do the... No, it's not Chaos. Is it Chaos?
Chaos, where you run through and light the bonfires.
Yes. That's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt just across the board.
It's just going to hurt. And then Fractal Vindicators. Fractal Avengers have been replaced by more powerful Fractal Vindicators.
Those are the things that down you or defeat you if you've been downed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Even in higher levels, some characters can just kill the Fractal Avengers really quickly. So, this should be an interesting change.
And then there was some updates to Fractal Rewards. Long-term uses for Fractal Currency have been lacking, so new rewards have been added that can be purchased using Fractal Currency and materials. Additionally, some rewards, such as Fractal Encryptions, Experience, and Karma, were inconsistent, with some Fractals providing too much and some Fractals providing too little.
I like how we kept basically everything from this. We didn't cut anything out.
No.
There's a lot of changes here.
No, this is a lot of changes.
Yeah.
The karma reward formula has been simplified. Players will no longer be penalized for playing above their personal fractal level or for playing above scale 90. Well, that's just practical. Yeah. Tyrian Mastery experience rewards in fractals have been standardized so that tiers 1 through 4 respectively give 2, 4, 8, and 12 writs of mastery experience.
I do not need writs of mastery experience.
No. Nope. Standardized fractal encryption rewards for all fractals, with the exception of the Nightmare and Shattered Observatory fractals, which now reward extra fractal encryptions.
Good, I guess. I'm not sure why those ones get more. I guess because they're harder.
But really, yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe Challenge Mode. I could see that. Hmm. New account augmentations can be purchased from Durar. Is that how we say it? Durar. In the Mistlock Observatory. And this is what I purchased. I purchased the Tier 1.
Oh, you already purchased something.
Yeah, that's what I was saying at the beginning.
That's why I was like, I can't purchase nothing.
Right, because you have to be fully leveled, right? A level 100. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, for the third one, you need to be fractal level 100. For the fourth one, you need the first two tiers of the first one that you can buy, the one you bought. I don't know what the other unlock things are. But, yeah, some of them are interesting, like more karma for every fractal you do and more writs of Tyrian mastery for every fractal you do. And what are the other two? One is to eventually allow you to unlock 5 agony resistance on every character have.
Yep.
So that's really interesting change. So you can unlock up to 20 agony resistance account-wide. Which is a pretty good reward.
Yeah, that's quite nice. It's a good relic sync. Mm-hmm. Added ascended rings, accessories, and amulets with selectable stats to buy 2046 PFR. Selectable stats.
Yeah, exactly. So those are going to be some sought after trinkets.
Yeah, so that will compete with the living season trinkets, which is good. Mm-hmm. And then Mystic Clovers have been added to buy 4373. Purchases are limited to 2 per day. It's Mystic Coin, Ectos. Is it like 3 Ectos, I think? It's a couple, maybe 1 or 2 gold.
Pristine relics or regular relics? I forget.
I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I looked at it and then I thought, I don't know. I don't know if I want to buy these or not.
Yeah.
So I passed on it for now. Added equipment bags that can be purchased with blade shards to bling 9009 after completing the Harbinger's Challenge in the Nightmare Fractal. Purchases are limited to 5 per day.
I got all excited when I realized that it was blade shards because I have so many effing blade shards.
So you can't use those?
Not unless you... I've done the challenge in the Nightmare Fractal, which I I've done like the first two bosses in the Nightmare Fractal, and I've never managed to complete the final one.
Is this challenge mode?
I think
so. Is that
what
that means?
I think so, yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Added integrated fractal matrices to the material storage tab in the bank. Reduced the obsidian. Oh, go ahead.
Well, it's just that those are, like, you only craft those if you have a use for them, so it's weird that they have a storage tab in the back.
Yeah, agreed. Reduced the obsidian shard gold cost and increased the relic cost.
Yeah, that's... I remember, like, one of the biggest complaints about how you, like, obsidian shards in fractals was, like, the gold cost is, like, 20 silver per obsidian shard, which made it completely not worth it.
Yeah.
So...
good.
So what's interesting about that to me is I farmed silver waste for obsidian shards. I wonder if now more people will farm fractals for obsidian shards. The Mistlock Observatory jumping puzzle now offers a small number of daily relics. That would be 3.
Yeah. I got really curious and wanted to see how many relics I would get, and I got 3.
The Fractal Console Guild decoration can now be constructed, and players can interact with it for unique effects. Ooh, 0. What does it do? Our resident
guild decoration
decorator.
Crafter.
Just a fine job. Fine
he
job.
He does indeed. And we had some quality of life updates for fractals, added Mystic Forge recipes with swappable stats to existing cosmetic infusions, such as Celestial Infusion, Chalk Infusion, Ghostly Infusion.
So basically, if you had one of those, you were stuck with the stats that you had, so now we can change the stats on them.
Oh, cool. Added Mystic Forge recipes with swappable stats for rare infusions. Added Expertise and Concentration infusions.
Much needed since, what? Hot, I guess.
Yeah, hot. Added a right-click consume all option for fractal encryptions and keys. Oh, ooh, I didn't try that tonight. When a party is defeated, astral force for celestial avatar and the life force for death shroud will now refill. This is not just fractals, right? Isn't this?
I'm not sure.
Because this is what we do in raids, right? Where we do the slash GG before we go in, and that's no longer necessary.
Yeah, so that's good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Moved the first cliffside Mistlock Singularity to a more convenient location. Ooh, so you do not have to run all the way over to the edge
that's
now?
Not a terrible location. That they moved it, I guess. It's not so bad. Really let you know who's, like, ready to play and who's not.
Oh, boy. And now on to raids with Alona.
Woo! So we don't have an awful lot to discuss about this because none of us has experienced the new raid, which is called Hall of Chains, an influx of murderous undead relentlessly hunt innocent worshippers of Grenth, infiltrate the underworld, and join the struggle for control over the fates of the living and the dead. So it's the underworld.
Yeah.
Which people hypothesize based on some of the teaser images we were given prior to the release.
Not to mention the current events with the corpses and the statue of Grenth and whatnot.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Also, I wonder if there's a Hall of Chains in the Guild Wars 1 underworld. Any idea? We should have researched this. Probably. Anyway.
I am not the right person to ask.
I've only been in the underworld, like, once.
Well, there were many different areas of the underworld, and I'm sure Hall of Chains might be one of them.
Yes. I was hoping Coffee and Quest wouldn't notice or that I said Hall of Shanes the first time. But no, chat noticed. Thank you.
Episode title.
Hall of Shanes. Hall of Shames. For as far as raids in general, there was a few changes made. The raid mastery track, if locked, will now be hidden. This has been done to allow players who do not participate in raids to gain experience towards spirit shards. Completing any encounter inside Heart of Thorns raid will unlock and make visible the raid mastery track. I had to have this explained to me at length by both Hashtag and Hunter because I did not understand these words.
People weren't getting spirit shards, and now they're getting spirit shards.
Yep, whether they raid or not. The Rift Traveler Mastery has been renamed Rift Forger. Travel via Lay Rifts is now available to all players, and the Rift Forger Mastery will allow players to repair their armor. Oh.
Ooh, do you not have to travel back now to repair?
This is a really great change.
Ooh. Yeah.
I am now just understanding the words that I am reading. All bosses are no longer immune to weakness. Good.
Okay, I'm not sure why they were immune to weakness in the first place.
Well, because they're bosses, I guess? I don't know. Boss encounters had incongruent toughness values across the board. With a few exceptions, all encounters have had their toughness normalized. Veil Guardian, Keep Construct, and McLeod the Silent remain unchanged. And there were other changes as well. We're just highlighting a few here. And then for structured PvP, they've introduced a new PvP conquest timeline feature. During a PvP match, you can see a running timeline of both teams' scores. Events that affect the score will show up as icons on the timeline. And Hashtag actually found a screenshot of that and shared it with both Hunter and I. And it's actually pretty slick looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So,
especially for our stats loving
do love stats.
Yeah. And on to the Black Lion Trading Company gem store. And commence Alona gasping. And squeeing. So for a limited time, the new resplendent avian raptor. Is that avian or avialan?
It should be avian.
Is that just a spelling mistake? Yeah. The new resplendent avian raptor mount skin is available in the style category of the gem store for 2,000 gems.
You know, that seemed like a lot when it wasn't a peacock dinosaur, but it seems it seems like a perfectly reasonable amount for a peacock dinosaur.
It's not a perfectly reasonable price for a mount skin. It is ridiculous. It's $25.
I now
Path
have
of Fire
this.
Costs 30.
But okay. what I do like about it though is it's really got great rich tones to it. It just mm-hmm. looks. Can you dye it?
Yes, there's 4 dye channels. When you run, feathers flow off you, and wow. I'm pretty sure it has different sounds, more birdie like sounds, more like chirp chirps, but not jumpy bunny chirp chirps, different varieties.
Well, the last thing I will say about this is that I'm never spending $25 on one of these.
Mm. So my comment to Alona when this first came out was, if this is the way that ArenaNet is going to introduce Tengu as a quote-unquote playable...
But this is very different than Tengu.
It's only one step removed.
Yeah. So there's, I love birds and I love dinosaurs and this is both and I get yeah. to ride it. And,
yeah.
And it's got a beautiful high crest and it's so.
So how have you dyed it?
I dyed it to match Alona. So it's kind of like muted earthy tones and purple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, it was okay. I replied, there was a Thought Shaman tweet about mount costs and all this, and I replied that, you know, it definitely takes at this price range out of the curiosity buy. Like, if there have been things where I've bought them, we're like, you know what, I got the gems, it's kind of cool, I'll buy it. In this case, it's the you have to absolutely want it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
such
also
a strange choice, if you ask me. Like, sorry, I said that I would not comment further. But, like, this thing is weird looking.
Well,
I disagree. I kind of think it's cool.
beauty in the eye of the beholder. I mean, it's that's like the Balthazar Forged Hound was cool, but it was like, you know what? It's really cool, but I'm not. It's not worth $25 to me. This is worth $25 to me. And I am more than happy with it. And I have it. And I also treat, it's a little bit of a treat. It is a bit of a treat. Like it's my early birthday present to myself.
Good enough.
It's not, so, I'm not going to get like every single, now if they keep making ones that I love, I might be in trouble, but hopefully not.
A new Alonian landscape die kit containing 6 exclusive colors is now available in the special category of the gem store for 125 gems. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 colors. Sulfur, which is kind of a yellow. Highlands, which is a mossy green. Oasis, which is a, like a, wow, what's the blue? That's like a
turquoise.
Yeah,
it's a turquoise.
Ruin, which is this lovely,
oh, so good,
burgundy, brown, bronzy.
It's a rich chocolate
mix. Yes,
a rich dark chocolate.
Sandstorm is just like it sounds, kind of a creamy look to it. And then Mesa is kind of a rose gold with a little bit of coppery tones to
milk
it.
Milk chocolate.
Yeah, sort of. A little bit lighter. These are pretty good. I think Ruin is my favorite. And then I like Highlands. I like the shine of it.
My favorite's cool. Ruin. No doubt at all.
Mm. Hunter, what's your favorite color?
I don't care.
Oh. Sad face. And let's see. For 7 days, the Mistlock Sanctuary Passkey returns to the utility category at the gem store for 1,000 gems. This is really great considering the new fractal. There's going to be a lot of interest in doing fractals right now. So it's good that they brought this back. And I have gone back and forth on my purchase of this passkey on whether or not it was worth it. But now I feel like it's worth it. And I've used it quite a lot. So good stuff.
One of the main selling points I was talking with, I think it was Keeper from RO, and he said you will end up buying it after I used it, the temporary 2-week one.
Yeah.
To go there, and he said you will end up buying it simply because the merchant, bank, and trading post are all in a
all
very
together.
Small area.
Yes. Yeah.
And basically, I don't think any other passkey to an exclusive area has them so tightly packed together.
Yeah. I like it a lot. The Lily of Ilan, I still struggle with finding everything where it is because some of the NPCs are stacked on top of each other and it's hard to see on the minimap. And I kind of forget where things are. But the Mistlock Sanctuary, it just makes sense to me and I like it.
I've been using the Lily of the Ilan and I've gotten used to it. I kind of like it, but I still prefer the Royal Terrace, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think... Royal
Terrace is good.
Yeah, it is. And I don't think I'll end up buying the Mistlock Sanctuary, since I already have the Royal Terrace.
Well, I like the Mistlock Sanctuary for the fractal entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Not having to load into Lion's Arch is quite nice. So that, to me, is really kind of 50% of the whole package, is having that ability. So that's a big selling point. And finally, for fractals, there was a bug fix. The Mysterious Sands chest has been... this is not fractals. What am
Gem
I
store.
Talking about? Gem store. the Mysterious Sands chest has been updated to include the Dream Thistle Dagger Skin.
So it wasn't offering the Dream Thistle Dagger Skin?
Apparently not.
I assume not. But now it is.
An oversight. Moving on to the November 28th Reddit AMA. A bunch of notes from Delphi that we put here in our show notes. Thanks, Delphi, for summarizing the AMA. First up, Mike Zadorozhny is replacing Mike O'Brien as the new game director of Guild Wars 2. So congratulations on that. Seems like a good guy. Seems like he knows what he's talking about.
My favorite comment from Reddit was, "The mic has been passed."
Oh, no.
You two in the puns today. So season four would follow approximately the same 2 to 3 month cadence as season three, so you can look forward to that. I think they said that a while back, but good to know that, you know, the same schedule is repeating. So one question was, what are you doing in season four to try and make the narrative feel more cohesive? And they reply, we've taken numerous proactive steps to increase frequency and depth of communication between the writers, narrative designers, and the content designers. And we've added new roles that are specifically meant to facilitate better communication and track and guide continuity between the episode teams themselves and across the episodes. In brackets, for instance, say hi to Living World story editor Jessica Price, brackets. We expect these steps to make this season of Living World the most serialized and connected so far, and we can't wait to hear what you think about that aspect. Well, the episode...
we've already talked about it a little bit.
Certainly, Daybreak continues straight off the end of Path of Fire, so that's one sign that they are going to be more cohesive. But it's hard to imagine where they're going next for the next story step. So, well, I guess that we'll have to wait and see on that. So the next question was about the trailers that don't show much content. To which they responded, we have a delicate dance in which we want to show as much of the new content as we can to our fans while we have a strong desire to not spoil any of the reveals and surprises within. We will take this feedback into consideration and look at how we make this dance a little better. And then someone else responded, not wanting to give too much is part of it, but keep in mind as well that video game content isn't like film content, where raw footage is usually available to be used in a trailer many months before the release of the movie itself. In making a video game, much of the refinement and polish comes pretty late in the process, so video assets may not yet be in a usable state by the time the marketing and cinematics teams start making the trailer, and voiceover may not even have been recorded yet. It's a fun challenge to figure out what we can do to get players' appetites whetted with the limited assets available that far in advance of the actual release.
These are all perfectly reasonable explanations. And quite frankly, one of my main complaints about movie trailers is they give you too much information.
They spoil the ending.
Or just spoil all the huge funny bits. Story bits. Or all the funny bits, yeah. So I think they've been doing, like, I could see why you might want more, but I'm glad there isn't, honestly, because then I don't have as much preconceived expectations for it, or unreasonable, or...
Personally, I think that the trailers are fine, but I do see the point that, like some people have been making the point that the trailers don't show off enough of the new content, so they can't promote the game that well. And a lot of people would like the game to be promoted well, because, of course, you want to see the game be healthy, be very populated. And I'm not... I see the point that the trailers don't really do that particularly well, but I think the trailers are decent, just not terrific. So.
But I mean, you can kind of understand why when the second point explains it fairly well too. Like, there's limitations that they have to operate under.
So moving on. You'll be able to enter Toy Apocalypse as a team this year. There will be two entrances, one for pre-made groups and one for players who want to be match-made into a team like last year. So yeah, that's a good thing. We can do that together. I didn't mind being shoved into with random people during Toy Apocalypse, to be honest, because I guess I was just used to it.
But if you wanted to, it's nice to have the option. It would be interesting if next year... jumping puzzles, being able to do the jumpy ones together as a group.
Yeah, next year.
Well, no, maybe this year. We don't know.
No, probably next year. We've been migrating services to Amazon over a period of months. Amazon has better peering relationships for its data centers than we could have than we could hope to have individually. We're also using newer, faster servers at Amazon than the ones we were using previously. In general, we've been in a better play experience, lower latency, and fewer network outages to Amazon servers. So yeah, there's been a lot of lag talk over the past few months, I've noticed. So I wonder if that's related to these server migrations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea, but it would be.
Yeah, I think it's a definite possibility as things are being migrated that there would be these little blips.
Hiccups. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the community has noticed that there's been like a bit more lag than usual over the past few months. So I'm happy to see they're working on it.
Yeah.
Balance patches take a good amount of time to implement and even more time to vet and test the changes. That is a good chunk of why they're on a quarterly cadence. Pathfinder shook quite a few things up, and there have been talks internally about temporarily pushing changes out more frequently to address concerns that have arisen. To that end, the Skills and Balance Squad has been putting in a solid work to prepare a small bonus balance patch that shouldn't interfere with the regular cadence. So yeah, that's a big complaint for the PvP people that they don't get more balance patches per season. They think that once before a season and once after a season is just not enough. And it seems like they're taking that feedback in, and we'll have a small balance patch.
It's worth trying, I guess. Like I know they may feel that before and after is the best way of doing it, but until you actually try the other option, you don't know for sure, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, worth a shot.
The Legendary Ring. We didn't even discuss this because it's not really in the notes, but the Legendary Ring collection ends in acquisition of the Precursor for now. Future updates will include the next steps on the patch to crafting Coalescence.
That's a good name.
Mm.
I kind of get a visual of what it looks like.
So my concern with these Legendary Rings and amulets and everything is, since it's not something that you visually see on your character, they are adding things like auras or that sort of thing, and it's particle creep. I mean, at what point, what if you have all six things? I mean, you're going to look like a traveling circus.
Yeah.
Goes into the next point nicely.
I mean, that's like a big concern without the legendaries, because people talk about Codex Blessing and all the infusions and stuff, and like some people walk around looking like a fireworks display and obnoxious.
And who can blame them?
Okay, so Hunter. Regarding visual overload, we are conscious about not trying to add visual noise to the game, but at the same time, we don't want to reduce players' abilities to recognize the investment of characters. It is something that we are balancing. Visual epicness versus visual chaos. We do hear what players like you are saying, and we'll continue to keep a close eye on this. So yeah, like sometimes I look down and I'm trying to see if I'm in an AoE field, and I just can't see what the kitten. Going on.
Yeah, oh,
lots of kittens.
Okay.
I will say one of my concerns with the new mount skins was how it would add to the visual overload. And
it hasn't yet.
It hasn't. That's my point. Like I was concerned about all the, you know, like the Starry Night kind of dogs and all the different versions are the griffins.
They're not in combat.
But it's not, like traveling around the world, it hasn't felt overwhelming or garish yet.
But even so, though that's not that's
pleasantly surprised.
That's different though. There are two different aspects. One is like immersion sort of issue or just, but this is more, I think, about when you're in battle, when you're fighting,
but it's
and
also,
you can't see
I think,
what's going on.
Yeah, but I think it's also the visual noise of clutter on the screen, like of those mounts. And yeah, when you're in battle, traveling, or you know, in map battle, I'm thinking more like not like a big boss battle, but in, you know, just mob scenes or whatnot, and having all these bright, crazy mounts around. I don't know. I just haven't noticed it as much as I thought I would.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah. As we looked into how to support sigil swapping on legendary weapons, it opened up the investigation to larger issues with the system as a whole. It is something I still would like us to address, but I want the design team to make the time to do it right. So it sounds like we don't have legendary sigil swapping because it opened up other problems.
Yeah. Well, and rune... Yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah, with the weapons. And I like... We were kind of wondering whether we should include this in because it's, on one hand... Yeah, it's a non-answer, but it's only because they don't have the solution yet. But mm-hmm. it's not that they don't want to find the solution. They just... They're still working on it.
Yep.
And that's good to hear. So.
And just a couple more things. With in regards to raids, they said we are planning to release raids with more regularity this season. I guess because last year they only released one wing, I guess, over the past year. And fractals, fractal instabilities. We are experimenting internally with putting them on a weekly random rotation, that we do want more instabilities so the pool is larger. So that would suck because I hate some of the instabilities.
Well, that would mean you might avoid fractals for a week.
Like, oh, yeah, it's that instabilities up. Yeah, hard pass.
last laugh is the worst instability, and I hate toxic trails, and I hate random conditions.
I haven't... Well, granted, I haven't played in as high levels as you guys have, so I haven't experienced them to the same extent. Back to the raid one very quickly. So that's still pretty vague. So are they thinking like
twice a year?
Twice a year? Three times a year?
Like, I mean, that opens up a lot of wiggle room.
Yeah. Mm. More than one? Less than 10? I don't know. Mm. But yeah, because there's a lot that goes into those. That seems like that would be a lot of... crazy amount of content added to the game.
Okay, so the first raid had three wings, right? And then the second one had one wing, right? Janthir one?
I don't think so.
I think the...
Right? Because that was a separate raid.
It took place in a different place, but I don't think it's a separate raid.
So that was wing... Four. Wait, no. Wing four. Right?
Yes.
So this... This current one is the second raid?
I think. I don't know.
I don't think so, because I could be wrong.
Okay, well, I got the wiki open. Putting in raids.
Fighties.
We are clearly professionals.
Okay, so. No, you're right. It's Forsaken Thicket, Spirit Veil, Salvation Pass, and Stronghold of the Faithful. And then Bastion of the Penitent is a raid. And now Hall of Chains is a raid.
So this is the third raid.
Yes, you were right. I was wrong.
There you go.
Woo!
Take your lone victory.
We also have some listener mail and tweets to read. Well, no, not and tweets. Why did it say and tweets?
We don't have tweets. That must have been from last week.
Well.
Yes, it was.
Yes. We also have some listener mail to read this week in our default mail carrier segment. Proshvam wrote us to say, "Hello, hosts. I've just returned to the game after a very long break. I finished getting max level when the game first came out, and then quit, so it's been a while. My question is, where do you think I should start, or what should I start working on? I love achievements and PvE, but feel entirely lost on where to start, seeing as there is so much that has happened since I played. I started listening to the show a few days ago after returning to the game, and I'm really loving the show. You're all a great team and have great personalities. Thanks so much for any help, Proshvam. Sorry. So, guys, thank you for the compliments and writing in.
Yes.
Then hashtag.
So, this may be a little controversial, but I would suggest starting over with a new character to get a feel for the game again. And I say that because that's what happened to me. I played, leveled up to max, the first year, and then I took a 2-year break. or a year and a half break, and then came back to it. And I tried to play with my old character, and I felt completely lost because I didn't understand the profession anymore. There were changes and new maps, and I was just kind of confused. So I stepped back, started over, and when you're starting with a new character, you can really level up quite quickly. And I was able to kind of relearn the game from the ground up, and had a lot of fun doing that. So I'm a fan of doing that. Or you could pick one of the specializations and work towards that kind of from your base of your max level character. That would be fun and would help you get involved in the maps and comfortable. And as far as achievements, I think there's a lot of great story achievements with the recent updates. I really like all the little collection achievements where you're running around the map, finding lost pages or little bits of lore or those sorts of things. So I think that's a great way to get started in achievements or to continue on with achievements, and also pick up little bits of lore and things like that that you enjoy. And yeah, I also think if you're uncomfortable with, like, not uncomfortable, that's the wrong word. If you're overwhelmed by, you know, the magnitude of everything that has happened over the past couple of years, I think that you could just jump into story and play story for a while, and that would help you kind of get comfortable with the maps and see what you've been missing as far as lore and get caught up to speed. So those are my suggestions.
And I certainly get the sense of how things will seem overwhelming. I feel that fairly frequently, and I haven't even had any breaks. And what I will do in those cases is I will look through achievements and pick one or two to really focus on as a goal, particularly ones that chain. So for me right now, obviously I'm working on the Draconis Mons backpack. In the past, it was like an item, like there was the Duena back piece, the Wings of Duena, or things like that. And there's also, even if you're not working towards, say, a legendary weapon, there are other weapons that you can make. There, I think, are they the Mystic Forge weapons, or do you know what the ones I'm talking about? Like, I was working on the one that I needed the Grawl skulls for.
Oh, you mean the various racial... Yeah. Skin sets, like the ogre set, the set. No,
like Immobilis or
Immobilis, yeah.
Yeah, so those are the Mystic Forge weapons, right?
Yeah.
So you can look, there's some that you have to like farm certain items, and it's just a goal. If you really, like, I really wanted Immobilis, so I worked towards that. And I can't remember the name of the staff now that I love. It's the sun beads, the one that you need sun beads to finish.
Well, that would be the Hylix set for the sun beads.
No, but it's the particular staff. It's not the Hylix set.
Well, the Hylix set is the only weapons that need sun beads. Yes, it is.
No, the staff I got.
I have the wiki, and I'm looking up sun beads.
In any event, there's a Mystic Forge staff that is awesome.
Azimuth?
Yes, that one.
There's literally one thing made.
Well,
that's not two things that aren't part of the Hylix weapon set.
So you can. I'm also correct now because I was talking about
believe that.
But so stuff like that. So just find a goal, one or two things. And when you were talking hashtag, it made me think of another way of doing some, like, the story stuff as well, but it was something similar, and I can't think what it was, so I'll let Hunter go next.
Oh, okay. I'm still looking at the wiki, sorry. So my advice would be to not start from scratch, as that is, for me, the least interesting part of the game. I think what I would do is I'd jump into a guild and try to include myself in whatever they were doing. I would leap to help people, and that would help me figure out what I like to do, what I don't like to do, And if I couldn't join those people in what they were doing, I would work on figuring out how I get my character into that zone or into that instance. Because if you don't have access to the content that they're playing, then you should get access to that content. So that immediately gives you a bunch of things to do, and, you know, helping people can feel really good. So there's always that if you're volunteering to help people. But once you've started doing things like jumping into dungeons or jumping into fractals and working on that stuff, you know, achievements will start to be worked on just because you're there and doing stuff. So that'll give you a bunch of achievements to work on that aren't at zero, and it'll give you a place to start working. So yeah, that'll give you like a fairly direct line of progress, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And if you try any of these and you don't find them fun, that's totally fine. Like, if it's not everyone will have the mm-hmm. same drivers or goals, but yeah, just check to see what other people are doing too, and see.
Jump in the pool.
Yeah, if someone else is working on an achievement, help them work on it, and maybe you'll get the achievement too.
Yeah, like there's even achievements for stuff like doing all the jumping puzzles in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I mean, people, you either love or hate them. But if you are pro jumping puzzle, that's kind of a fun one to get through. Or the diving goggles in the core game is one. Mm-hmm. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's lots of stuff you can kind of like. Let's just do that.
Yep, lots to do. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, blah, 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 blah. Words. This is where we brag that people know me and our guild hall smells of rich mahogany. It's our Boasts of Ascalon. And this week we have a wonderful review. And it's titled Wonderful Podcast, 5 stars in iTunes by Lucas Aurelius from the USA on November 14th, 2017. Thank you so much for taking time out of your days and play time to make this podcast for the community. You may not be wildly famous, but you and Hunter,
well, thanks.
Alona and Hunter.
Have an NPC named after me in the game, pal.
But hashtag
who gets
recognized
more in game? you may not be wildly famous, but what you do matters to a lot of people. You may never see the listener who decides to keep playing because of the enthusiasm you bring to your show. But they exist, and they are thankful. Hunter's sarcastic and somewhat pessimistic attitude is actually much appreciated, because there are always areas for improvement within the game. And hashtag and Alona provide just the right amount of sugar-sweet vocal candy. Yay. To overcome the salt that Hunter brings. You are all wonderful human beings, and I'm personally grateful for the effort you go through to produce this show. Please keep it going as long as you're able. P.S. Hashtag predicts is my favorite part of the show. Well, yes! Okay.
Our next episode is the predictions episode, and we will be going over last year's prediction show to see what hashtag got right. And if she didn't get anything right, I'm going to dance on her
You
corpse.
Know what? Have we added to that? Oh my gosh. Have we added to that document as I like hashtag predicts throughout the year? Like, did we add hashtag predicts plaid mount skins? We are most definitely getting plaid at some point. I mean, whether or not
what?
It's fabric
no,
or not.
We're not
yes.
getting plaid.
Yes, we are getting plaid. I'm telling you. Plaid is hot right now. We are getting plaid.
Hot? What are you talking about?
I'm just sitting here laughing while you guys keep going.
Plaid is definitely a thing and is happening.
So thank you so much for writing in, Lucas. We actually made sure that Hunter did not read this in advance so that he would hear the PS live on the show. So that was awesome.
Yes. Good stuff. And that is it. That is our show. This is the last show of 2017.
Oh, my fast
or boo? I don't
what?
Know which.
It's in the, what? Why are you booing?
I said yay or boo. I'm not really sure.
It's been a really great year. We've made it. Yeah. We've made it. We did it.
23 episodes. That's pretty good out of possible 26 or so.
Yeah. So to get in touch with us, you can contact me, hashtag, on Twitter at #thetag. That's two A's in hash. Or sig.1735, S-I-G-G, .1735 in game. You can tweet Hunter at Hunter's Insight on Twitter. You can engage Alona at One Big Pair or in game at onebigpair.1249. You can listen directly from our website at hostsofascalon.com. Grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. And don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded January 3rd, 2018. So put that on your calendars. It's the prediction show.
Live
predictions. Good show, everyone. We are good enough. We are smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like us.
You didn't even write a new one.
I didn't.
You missed your opportunity.
To be fair, Hunter, didn't you make a point a couple weeks ago that you wanted us to transition to this so that we didn't write our own?
No. Well,
both of you said...
So yeah. I thought I was just doing the Hunter thing.
I don't remember Hunter saying
making
that.
Up excuses.
You don't know.